Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 119 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
How are you, Kyle?
I'm okay.
Hey, guess what? We have another guest this week.
Tell me more.
What's to say? I mean, we had our good friend Sarah last week. This week we have the one and only Tara.
Tara and Sarah.
Tara. It's just Tara. Not even the last name. You're just a single name. You're Tara.
I think that's good. He went alphabetical, so Sarah came before me.
So who's next week? ST. What's after T?
Where?
I don't know. So we need a Vera next week. Anyone named Vera who wants to be on the show, let us know. It's just like
good. This could be it. This could be
this
like
could be it. That's all you need.
Right. So welcome to the show, Tara. It's not just Tara. It's Tara Clays out of the DC area, and you've been many times on the show before. A rapper in your own right.
Hey. Very creative.
I try.
Impressive. Yeah. Impressive things. How are you? It's been a while. We haven't had you on in quite a while.
It has been a while. It's been a while since I've been on and since I've even really like chatted with you guys even on Skype, on Slack or Skype or anything. So thanks for reaching out. It's cool to see you guys.
What's new in your world?
I've been listening to your show. You had a little hiatus there. So I was wondering if it was just me that was missing it or whether it was you guys. You all are back on schedule, though.
We're getting there. It's,
we got in a fight.
We got huge.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Our bromance was on the rocks.
It all comes out now. It all comes out now. Well,
what's it going to take it anymore?
Reconciled. I'm glad it's working out.
Well, he gets to keep the socks. I adopted a dog.
Yes, I've seen your dog.
Yeah, so
That's cute.
So, we're back. We're back and meaner than ever.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah. So, how's it there? How is your weather up there in DC?
It's brisk at the moment. It's like 25 degrees this morning. So, but we've had it hasn't been a horrible winter. We've had hardly any snow.
Yeah, same here.
And it's not been awful. A few cold mornings, but it's sunny.
Yeah, we've had the cold. We just haven't had the snow. We finally got 3 inches a few days ago. School was let out 3 days early the day before the snow. I mean, 3 hours early the day before the snow hit. And then there was no school on Friday, which was my son's birthday. It's going to be melted by today. It'll be 69 degrees by Tuesday, the day before this comes out. It's crazy. Yeah, Raleigh snow. Snowageddon, they call it. But it's the joke is we will rebuild after 2 inches.
That's wild that you guys got snow. We didn't get a drop. Yeah. We're not that away.
Right. Yeah. So it's crazy. Other than that, I was gonna mention actually real quick, I got a credit of $6.52 on my utility bill. You know how you do that? I got a trick for y'all.
Go ahead.
It's not doing solar, it's not selling energy back to your utility company, it's paying the bill twice in the same month.
That's a good tip.
At least I wasn't late,
You must have like overpaid one.
I did. I overpaid by like $6.52.
I see.
But for the next month, right? So I paid 1 month.
I see. Okay.
So I even called them. I'm like, what happened? They go, yeah, you paid us twice. I'm like, huh? Well, I guess I had the cash. I don't know. Whatever. So
bonus.
Right. Awesome. And then just this morning, I just want to share this real quick. My middle kid, he had to go to a work meeting. He works at PDQ. It's like a chicken tenders place here locally. And he had a meeting at 8 a.m. on a Saturday. He's not working until tonight, like 4 or 5 tonight. And he works weekends. And he comes downstairs after he'd showered. And he put on pajama bottoms and a sweatshirt. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I have a meeting. I'm like, oh, yeah. You're wearing that? Yeah. You're wearing pajama bottoms to a work meeting. Mm-hmm. That's not okay, but it's sort of everyone does. So I tweeted this out. I pulled the dad card. Yeah. He's like, would you rather me change? I'm like, yeah, I would.
It's like, get with the times, dad.
No, I just don't see. I mean, like I told Kyle before we recorded, it's like you're in a college, wear what you want to wear. I don't see it, but under my house, my rules, you need to dress. There's just that. I mean, I hate to age myself in a sense, but there is the dress for the job you want, not the job you have mentality. And he's like, would you rather me wear shorts? I go, if it wasn't 20 degrees outside and it was the right job, sure. Don't do it. Just go put on a pair of jeans or a pair of sweats even that like, at least are clean. Don't wear pajama bottoms.
So he did.
He did.
Changed.
He did.
All right. Good job.
Just teens these days, right?
He probably said, "Thank you, Father, for your wise and sage advice."
I'm pretty sure he didn't say that out loud ever.
I think an eye roll was probably there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's what's going on in my world. You, Kyle, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Thanks for asking. Really nice of you to express your concern about my well-being.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the hiring process that we're going through.
Mm.
And I mean, it's good. It's all good.
Right.
This is an exciting time for us. But oh man, it is, it's emotionally exhausting.
Yeah.
We're getting late in the process and getting close to the time where we have to like actually make the hard decisions. And problem is we've got a lot of great candidates and I just want to hire them all.
Right. It's like saving all the dogs. You get a job and you get a job.
Oh man.
I can tell you on the flip side of that, I mean, it's also tough being an applicant. I mean, I haven't been one in quite a while, but you know, it's tough when you apply for something and you really want it and you wait and wait and wait. And then sometimes you just get totally ghosted by companies. That's the worst too.
Yeah.
You know, like in years past, years and years ago, I applied to Automatic even, you know, and I applied to other places. And, you know, it's just indicative. Sometimes they just people, you get either fall through the cracks or they get too many people and they just don't reply. You get the autoresponder and that's that. It kind of sucks, but you got to move on. So,
yeah. Well, we're not going to do that.
Good. Yeah. It happens. Yeah. So
we'll try. It's tough. It's a complicated process.
Yeah.
Lots of qualified, talented people out there.
Yeah. There are. And I think all of them applied.
Yeah.
Jobs. Yeah.
Right on.
All of them.
Cool.
Company
all right.
Has a good reputation, so people want to work there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that or the military, so.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right. We got some new things here. Kyle, you put that first one in. Why don't you take that one after you suck down that drink of yours?
Yeah, so the WordPress.org theme directory has no longer shows featured themes. This has always been there for like as long as I can remember.
Yeah,
like a section. There's new and maybe I don't know what else is there. Top rated or something. Or
yeah,
there was a featured section that was pretty prominent, and now it's gone.
Why? Does it give any
What's
reason?
What's that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, featured sections are hard.
Who picks?
The challenge.
Yeah.
The challenge is, like, what's the criteria for being featured? Everybody wants it. You got thousands and thousands who want to be featured, and everyone who's not featured is calling it a conspiracy. That you know, and saying it's unfair that they're not featured. And,
right.
Coming up with a system that is fair to everyone. Is like it's hard, it's a lot of work, and then I don't anybody in control of the site is not about to pour that many resources into doing it. So, the easy thing is probably just to say, forget about it, we don't need a featured section.
Well, just looking it up real quick, as of this recording, there are 3,951 themes in the directory, and the featured list is gone, but there's still a featured filter you can pick themes based on filtering it down of the features you want, and the two categories that they have. Are popular and latest.
Got it.
Organized that way. Yeah.
Right.
That is so many themes. I mean, how do people? I remember when I first started in WordPress that like it's daunting. That's too many.
I know
that's
every
too
single one of them.
That's too many.
I know all of them. I know every setting by heart on all those themes. By the way.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's all I do every day. Is I just look. I just make sure I know every setting for every theme. That's my job. Can you imagine?
Good grief.
That is crazy. So that is crazy.
Okay. Yeah, it's a weird directory. It needs so much work that it's not going to get. It's kind of sad.
That's my next job.
Yeah.
And also in the news, Tara, you put this one there. You can take this one.
Oh, WooCommerce licensing change. So they've got rid of their multiple licenses. You can only get one at a time.
Right. So it used to be 1, 5, 25 for not for everything, but for many things. And now just one down the line. So, and of course, we were talking that this is a rumored positioning for the perspective of a public offering of some capacity within Automatic or Woo or something down the line. But as we
that's not a new discussion.
No, it's just a resurfaced discussion, I guess. Yeah. So,
right.
But this could be that way. So, as far as you know, value based probabilities, who knows? But you know, But then Matt had said on Twitter that it's not this year. So that was interesting. Right?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Anything else in the news? I don't think there's anything else in the news. No.
I don't know. It's quite a bold move to lead the way.
In full disclosure, actually, if you have that old licensing, five sites, you still have it in your dashboard over at Woo, at WordPress. So in Woo, it's not like it's gone for everybody. Just you can't get it new. That's all. So
sure.
Not to stress people out in that case. So anyway, That's it for the news.
What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now? What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now?
Okay, ladies first, what do you got?
I am wearing a lovely Nerd Network t-shirt with the WordPress logo that Amy Masson gave me as a gift.
Nice.
Love what it. Is that? Black. I've never heard of that.
I don't know. I don't know where she got it. I just like it. It's got the, the O is a WordPress logo. It's pretty neat. And I'm also wearing my bright green Design TLC branded fleece.
Very stylish.
Really? Yeah.
And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking coffee in my Hallway Chats mug with frothed milk. For Valentine's Day, I gave my husband a milk frother.
Oh. That's worked out well
and
for you.
You wanted it yourself.
That I like to use. Yeah. It's very fancy. It's very foamy. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Yeah. And reading?
Yep.
And reading, sadly, I've attempted to read a book for a book club called The Name of the Rose, which is an old book and was made into a movie with Sean Connery and a very young Christian Slater. And I watched it because I couldn't get into the book. So I'm probably not going to read that book beyond the page 50 I'm on. And self-help kind of like introspective book, The Four Agreements, has been sitting on my little table for a while. So I'll probably pick that one up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You don't like my books, but you'll watch my movie. Okay, that's all I got for Sean Connery. Yes. I found the cure to the 20th century, and I've lost it. Okay. Kyle, what do you got going on?
I'm wearing a Sandals Brewing t-shirt and a Sandals Development jacket,
oh my
gosh, a GoDaddy hat, and I'm just finished my mug of coffee, and I'm reading a book called The Wastelands by Stephen King.
Have you read that before?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. People read the same books over. I'm just saying.
Oh.
For some reason, I thought you read that before. That's all.
No. This is the third book in the Dark Tower series by Stephen King.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Nice. I'm wearing WordCamp Asheville 2018, drinking coffee in my Sandhills logo mug, colorful logo mug once again. And I'm reading a new book. Well, I picked up two new books. I went to a local coffee shop last week. And, at some coffee shops, they have books you can leave and you can borrow. So I borrowed two because out of the trilogy, the first one's called Nexus. It's by Ramez Nam. It's a trilogy. So it's interesting. It's about technology, brain hacking, all this stuff. But it's fiction. It is fiction. I'm looking to go
through. Very thick book. That is a thick book. How many pages are there?
This one is a typical normal size book. This was 527 pages.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Actually, it's not with acknowledgement. So 523. And then the other one is just as thick, that's number two called Crux. And then the third one, I forgot the third one's called, but I didn't want to take all three. So I took the two and I'll return these and, get the third one. It'll probably be done with both of these like by another week or two.
Good plan.
Thanks. So, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N. Tara Clays is back again. She's got wisdom that she's about to share, delivered to you with tender love and care.
Aw, that's right. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready? Are we ready? Because we have 5 seconds left of this to talk about. Are we ready? Okay, we're ready. We're good.
Ready.
All right. First question. Kyle, you take that one to start off.
I don't know if this will fit, but how does Tara search to find the cold email businesses? Are there tips on how to search? This question comes to us from Marcy Diaz.
That's a really interesting question, and I wasn't exactly sure what she's referring to. I think I may have shared a little bit about some marketing tactics that I'm exploring. And so the idea of a cold email. Just, you know, I mean, obviously you can only do it when it's cold outside. So you can do it in the winter.
That's an option.
Or else if you really have to do it in the summer, you just turn the air conditioning up really high and then and then you can do your cold emailing. Yeah.
I thought there was more to it, but
that's, you know, that's all that, that's all that I can think of. But, you know, if you really wanted to like research it, how you know how you search for it, you could just look for any emails where people forget to BCC you and they just CC you. And then you have a whole bunch of emails you can use to send out a lot of emails.
Okay. That's, that's an option.
I don't know if that helps Farsi or not.
So I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Helps me.
Yeah. I actually, I have some notes on this. I mean, I have, and I have two options. One not so maybe great, one that's legitimately what I've done. First one is, like you said, only when it's cold outside, Tara. I do the opposite. I mean, I do that, but also if it's, I've thought about putting the phone book in the freezer. Mm. And then when it's frozen, pull it out and try to, whatever page I can get to, use that page for my marketing tactic. Email those companies on those yellow pages.
That is a good cold calling strategy.
See?
Oh, my goodness. All right. We're really helping people today.
We are. We are. The other option I have is what I have done in the past. I haven't done this lately because I've been busy. I've been getting a lot of referral work. And you know, I'm just, the best type of work to get is, you know, word of mouth. But when I was doing my own prospecting, I have a process to where I would look at areas on a Google map by me or whatever it is, you know, just based on looking something up, and you can zoom in, find a company, click on it. If they have a website, go to there. I have a whole process I would do. And then if their website was old, I would then save that through Evernote Web Clipper in, to, you know, automatically for the browser. That would go to my pipe drive. And in a pipe drive, I have a series of emails, an entire sequence, which actually I have over on Kitchen Sink WP, which I've put together a little ebook, which I've sold those template emails. So I have a cold email sequence introducing who I am, what I do, offering them, you know, offering them a site audit, offering them a sample of what their site could look like, etc. And after five emails, if they haven't replied, I just move them out.
So I do. How often do they reply? Does it work?
Yeah, it does. I probably got 50%, between 40 to 50% replies. Some of them were like, take us off your email right away, which was totally fine. I'd rather know than not know, you know. So other ones, actually, I got some leads and I got some work out of it, you know. It just, but that way I just always, when I was always just kind of surfing the web, I would take an hour or two a day when I first started doing this process just to put stuff in the pipeline and just have, give me something to do every day for, you know, prospecting for business, you know, try to get a book of accounts going and stuff. So it did work. Yeah. Yeah, it did. And the ebook is selling like hotcakes. It's not. I've sold. I think I'm selling it for, so like, I don't know what the price is. $10, $5. I don't know. So.
I don't think I've ever bought a hotcake. Have you ever bought a hotcake?
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Kyle, do you
hotcake cold call?
Yeah. So Kyle, do you have any? And just FYI, I mean, I've also. I do cold calling via cold emailing versus an actual cold phone call. I just think it's less intrusive than calling them up for on a random call. So,
yeah, I think in order to identify who is a potential lead, you got to know, you know, a little bit about what is important to you and who is a qualified lead. Qualified leads matter.
Absolutely,
that's an important concern. And I think the way you identify a qualified lead is, you know, you get in line with them at a restaurant like Chipotle or Subway or Qdoba or something like that. And when the time comes and they're asked the question, avocado costs extra, do you still want it? If they say yes,
well, they're qualified.
They're qualified. Yeah. That signals that they're sitting on enough discretionary income. Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, avocado add-on for anything is crazy money when the avocado costs.
And everybody wants it.
Right.
You know, yeah. So if they say, sure, yeah, I don't care. I don't even need to tell me how much it is. They're qualified. They can pay you what you're worth.
That's a good strategy. Also, you know, don't get the people at Starbucks who get the drip that you want the latte or tall drip, which is actually what I get. You know, like that's the cheapest thing you can get.
Right.
Grande maybe, but like grande latte, ooh, venti.
Well, they're a qualified lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, sure. I think for me, though, and this may be what Marcy's asking, I have started specializing, which makes it a little bit easier to hone down on a list of prospects. And I have done research looking at local directories of small schools or preschools, enrichment programs, that type of thing. Yeah. And then I go and look at their website and see if it needs help. And I've done direct mail, like in the mail, and email, and then I follow up with a phone call. And I really hate this part of my job, so I probably won't continue.
So I mean, quick question.
Crazy.
Quick question, Tara. So on the direct mail, two questions. Have you ever gotten anyone calling you from direct mail? Has it ever worked?
No, I've only just done that in the past couple of weeks.
Okay.
And I've only done a few, and so I'm not sure whether I'll do more or not. I think I sent them to some programs that didn't really need a website. So, or a better website, their website was good. So I probably should have done a better job on that research. But, you know, it's a cute little package I have with a little ice pack in it that's shaped like a heart. Like I did something that would kind of stand out in their mind so that when I called them, it wouldn't be like, hey, did you get my email last week?
Right.
Of course they wouldn't have even opened it. It's like, did you get that blue package with the heart-shaped ice pack in it? It's a little easier to make a connection with them. But I didn't get a very good reaction in my phone calls. And it's just probably one of the most uncomfortable things for me to do, and probably for a lot of people. I do know someone who likes to do it and who does a lot of this, and he's really good at it, but it's just not for me. So
that's amazing. How interesting that you gave it a try.
Yeah. So you did actually a direct mail, like a really personalized direct mail. So you didn't go direct mail like in the packet of those packets of value pack. You didn't do one of those.
Correct. No, I didn't. Yeah. And it was not cheap. I mean,
right.
If I get a job from it, it will be worth it. But, you know.
Yeah, I did direct mail back in my photography, specifically for weddings and for babies and bellies days, and it worked. But yeah, it's a process. You have to kind of keep hitting them over and over again, people, you know, three, four, five times before people remember it and see it and then make that connection potentially.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I did client work for a long time, and I honestly do not know if I ever worked with someone that I would have considered a true cold lead. I can't remember ever.
I think it's
ever doing
rare.
It.
Yeah, I think it's pretty rare, and so I gave it a try. But I think that there are other marketing tactics that will be more enjoyable and more effective. So, I mean, referrals, as you said, like word of mouth. That's where
it's building that trust. Yeah. It's building a relationship first. I mean, we've had those discussions on Slack. You know, it's having that relationship and just a conversation, even in that initial phone call. If they call you based on a referral, it's still building that trust of being an expert and knowing what they need and listening. And it takes time. Yeah. You're not going to sell a $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 website in a meeting or in a first phone call. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, the more expensive the site, the longer the sales cycle. Or the more expensive the product or the service, the longer the sales cycle typically as well.
Yeah. Do you guys have the same definition of a cold lead that it's someone who's
never heard of me and doesn't know what I do?
Not reaching out to you. You contact them
yes.
and they're not expecting your contact.
Right.
Correct.
That's cold.
That's a cold.
That's completely cold.
So I don't think I've ever had a client where that was the situation. All of them came to me like either through my marketing or through my referral network. Everybody else was a warm or a hot lead.
Well, so
that I ever converted.
So I have a cold lead story where I met a woman at Starbucks, actually. When I first moved here, she was off for the day. We ended up talking, and she was she's local. She was at a doctor's appointment, went to Starbucks before she went to work, but she worked at her dad's company. That's how the conversation went. Her dad owns a street sweeping and parking lot cleaning company here in Cary. And I looked at the website real quick. I'm like, oh, that's not very good. And so I said, I'm like, oh, you guys have a website. And she goes, yeah, it's not good. I'm like, oh, okay. If you say so, it's terrible. So she said, you should reach out to my dad. And, you know, and so I did, but it was totally cold. He didn't know I was calling or going to do anything. So it's a cold call. And over the next few months, and now, like 3 years later, I finally got in touch. He put me in touch with his salesperson or the operations manager, And that person scheduled a few calls with me, never showed up for the calls every time. Totally. Right. And then I just let it go. I'm like, all right, it's a lost lead. I moved on. And then it still bugged me because I used to pass that location every day to go pick up my kids. I was like, I guess back in September of last year, I was looking for a little quick project to do to try something new within Beaver Builder or whatever. I was trying to build something. So I built a spec site for them on my server, sent it to them as a follow-up, got an email back from their administrator, because I, you know, from the admin office, from the office administrator. She said that the guy, the sales guy who was supposed to talk to a year ago, moved on from the company. You can talk to her. So anyway, so I said, well, try this link. And so she calls me back. She goes, this is amazing. I showed John. He loves it. He wants to talk to you. Oh, and also in that last email was, I did this. Check it out. It'll be up for a week. I won't contact you unless you contact me, period. I'll just leave it at that. I was done, in essence. She contacted me, so we opened that channel again. But then the holidays came around. Nothing ever came of it. But, you know, I have a little demo site of what the site could look like. And then for the holidays, I did send one more email saying, happy holidays from Concierge WP.
You know? Wow, that's a lot of effort you went to.
It was. It was a lot. But, you know.
Yeah, I've got to try these things, see if it works. You never know.
And I had nothing to lose except about, I spent probably 2 hours tops on building a single page sample site. I'll show you before. And it's night and day. And their old site's still there, and it kills me to see it. I'm like, oh, it's just so bad, you know. So that's totally cold. I got close, and it could have been a quick win, you know. Yeah. So the site was done, in essence. I mean, here, take your content, put it in, and we're done. You know, that's, you know, a couple thousand bucks. Easy. Low-hanging fruit. Moving on from that. Yeah, cold is tough. I agree. It's tough.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how much it's a part of the business of any of us operating at this scale.
Yeah.
Cold seems to be like a scaling strategy. Like once you're scaling up, then you begin to like exhaust the limits of your, your organic marketing efforts and your referral networks. And cold becomes an issue.
Well, here's the thing also. I think cold calling works well if you do want to scale in a specific productized service way. And you hire someone to do it for you who has expertise in it. For example, I was going to go after automotive repair shops, the mom and pops. I don't know that industry, but I know a guy here in town who does. So he could go sell it. Here's package A, B, and C. Go to the shops. Maybe it's $2,000. He gets 25%, 30%. We build it. We just template it. You know, that could work. But you're right. I don't want to do that every day. I don't know those people. He has those contacts because he's, you know, an ex-mechanic, that kind of thing. But it just – you can go that route as well. But once you get busy – I don't really need to do a cold calling. I'm busy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I tried it.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
I did get one client from an email. Anyway. It's not fun. I'd be much prefer to have warm.
Right. Yeah, I just checked the old site in question, the Sweepers Company. The old site's still there. I'll send you guys both links later. All right. Second question, moving on here. I will ask this one for you. Let's see, we have a question two. This one's sent in by Michelle Frechette. How do you keep WordPress and family real life separate?
Michelle's great.
She's awesome.
Good question. But WordPress isn't real life? Is that like, well, I'm curious about that.
No.
Am I dreaming this? Is this not real?
It's not real.
That's awesome. Like work and business. Yeah. Obviously. I mean, work business / personal, I think is the, you know, obviously.
Yeah. I don't tell my family anything. They, you know, I live in Washington, so they think I'm in the CIA. They have no idea what I do.
Wow. That's
great.
Keeping it super separate. They have no idea what I do all day.
Believable though. Like you.
Sure.
I would believe
work
that.
Camps are, you know, missions, right?
Yeah.
You have a passport out at all the times and some foreign currency, you know. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I have a
Double life can be difficult. You know,
it is. You got
real challenge.
Super separate. But right. Actually,
totally.
Yeah, truthfully, for me though, it's all one thing.
Yeah,
I don't keep it separate. It's maybe a problem, but you know,
maybe
admitting the problem is the first step to recovery. I mean, I have a few options. Option one for me: blue painter's tape.
Yeah. What?
Blue paint. I just put my painter's tape to separate the space.
I see.
So, you know, there's easy, medium, and hard lines that you can draw on the sand. So the easiest one is blue painter's tape.
Yeah.
The second line of the sand for me would be going to rent in an office space, actually leaving the house to go work somewhere else. right? That way, just when you leave work, you're home. There's nothing to do at home. You have no computer here, nothing, no home office, nothing. And right. then my third option really be, as far as taking it up a level, is I think possibly, if you can, you want to have this office space of yours combined with traveling over a state line to get to it. That's right. Yeah, I drive. So drive at least 2 hours minimum. Or if you live in Southern California, maybe 20 to 25 miles.
Yeah.
Take just as long. So, you know.
Yeah.
So
I would just complain a lot about either in both directions. So no one starts wanting to explore the other side of your life.
Nice.
Just make sure you're always grumbling about these super boring word camps, more like nerd camps, I mean, that you have to go to. And just don't post any fun party after party pics on your Rinsta. And that's what Finstas are for. And for your W peeps, you know, just complain about your family and home life incessantly and just usually prevents anyone from trying to infiltrate your real life.
Wow.
I don't know. It's kind of simple.
That is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. It's not that smart.
And it saves on gas money.
Yeah, it probably would. Yeah, it's a little less work.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It probably makes you more of an annoying person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you bring your family to word camps. So, you know, you mix them pretty much. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was part of the contract, you know, having for Kyle and Ashley to have children, you know, is to got to bring the cute kid. Otherwise, you can't come. Yeah. You're not welcome. It's actually Kyle's barely welcome. Abigail is always welcome. And Ashley with Ashley, of course.
Yeah. maybe Michelle is just setting us up with this question because yeah. I feel like we all sort of disagree with the premise. It's actively trying to keep these things separate maybe isn't useful. I don't know. My life has been enriched by the mingling of my personal and professional spheres.
Yeah.
Well, and the other part of the question is, I mean, and I've spoken to some people about this recently. I've been having an issue so does my wife to some extent, with it being at home. Tara, you too. I mean, we all were from home. It's so close. It's so easy just to walk in the other room. So Kyle, in your case, you know, you have a little child, a younger child, so it's easy. You want to spend time with her. That's great. My kids are teens. Tara, your kids are out, right? So you're an empty nester. So it's easy for us, for Tara and I, just to kind of go back to the home office and just poke around and look at something and tweak and just goof. And it's, quote, not necessarily work, especially if it's kind of fun. But sometimes it goes back into work. So it's, for me, I've actually really considered back in December, I was considering renting an office space because I've had a hard time turning it off.
Yeah, it is hard to turn off. I can't justify the expense of an office when I'm home alone with my pets all day. Like there would be no reason. I just have to be more disciplined if I want to be. And I think that's the thing, is this is my hobby and I enjoy it. And, you know, there is like a WordPress family too. I think we become friends and we have, you know, we visit each other at each other's homes a lot of times and all that kind of thing too. So it is all mixed. I don't think it would be as healthy to make it totally separate.
Yeah, because it goes back to the old having the, quote, day job where you go 9 to 5, you leave, you don't think about them. And I don't like that either necessarily. I liked having what we have. I mean, I'm working at just doing a better job of ending my day and then maybe not coming. I don't know. I have a couch in the office, as you guys can see. I can come sit here and chill and read, and I do, you know. But then I can get and poke up. If I think of an idea, I can go not buy a domain, but just kind of look into it. I don't think I've bought any domains this year, have I? No, not yet.
I'll admit that I do have a bit of a thing when it comes to mingling work and personal too much. Like my employer kind of relationship and colleagues and I don't know. I think this is just a personal thing, and I think it's shaped a little bit by some bad experiences that I've had that have just, like, stuck with me. But I am much more, like, reluctant to engage actual coworkers on a deeper level than I would be with, you know, just, like, industry friends.
That's a good point, right? Because you are employed by someone, and Adam and I are our own bosses.
Right.
So our colleagues in WordPress are not our coworkers necessarily. So that is different.
Right.
But Tara, let me ask you this. I mean, I don't want to say stable, it's the wrong word. I have a group of 5 contractors that I work with consistently now who work for me, you know, not solely, they're not employees, but you know, there's 5, maybe 6 now. and I'm still really good friends with them, and I share a chunk of information from a personal level. But the same token, then I also have the expectation that they do what they've signed up to do work wise, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think it's case by case. I mean, I don't share everything with everybody. There's no need to, you know. Being going through a most recent situation with a contractor, I'm now actually kind of protecting myself and not just keeping it at arm's length, but making sure that I have like contractor agreements in place for certain things, because friendship's friendship, business is business, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I just mean it like I'm sorry. I'm stepping on you.
No. I was like, go ahead.
Yeah. I just mean that I'm less likely to like get very personal mm-hmm. with someone that I actually work with than I am with someone that I don't. Like just you guys, you know, you come over to my house, you know, we can hang out. It's like, I'll be frank with you about what's happening. But if you're a real colleague, like,
I think that's smart.
It is smart.
You have to have a level of professionalism. It's like being a parent in a way, because you have relationship with your children, especially for me now, like my kids are both, you know, of drinking age, they're adults and they're fun to hang out with. But they're still my kids. And so I'm still the mom, but I'm also on a friendship. So it's just that tricky line. It's similar when I think what you're describing, Kyle, is you have to maintain the boundaries of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I might fixate that on that more than I should. I worry about that at times, just because of my experiences, and maybe because my role now is a little bit HR related, but if there is a reason to keep them separated, it would be for me to respect the people in your normal life by not constantly telling them how great yours is, which sometimes, you know, I don't want to be that annoying person. I mean, I get to work in this awesome community with hundreds of friends, and I get to work from home for a great company. I have, I think, less stress than most people and more freedom and more fulfillment, plenty of travel, et cetera. I've found that everybody else just doesn't want to hear about it.
Right.
Yeah.
All the time. Well, the other thing, Kyle, do you have any direct reports?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also, you have to be careful with that. I mean, I know in the past when I had a day job, not the last one I had, but the one prior to that, I was, when I went back to a company that I used to work for. So when I went back, when I left the first time, I was friends with people like on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it was, LinkedIn. When I went back, I blocked all of them from Facebook, you know, from all those things. We were still friends, but I just blocked them. I didn't unfriend them. And then when I left, I unblocked them because I wanted to make sure that there was a separation between work and personal life, especially from the people who I would report to or who would report to me. You know, you gotta kind of protect those things because, again, you know. And I remember I went back to that company as a director versus just like I was much lower prior to that. It was an 8-year gap. I came back as a director. Once you're a director, you have to go through different training, sexual harassment training, all that stuff. You have to be careful of, and there's a lot more eyes on you in all those levels, right? So I blocked literally a ton of people that I couldn't quote be personal friends with on social media.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough balance.
Mm.
It's a tough balance, especially when you have direct reports. Yeah. So,
So
splitting the two, it's splitting hairs. Yeah. I think a great question from Michelle. It's just, it's tough to, it's hard. It's not, there's no one answer, no one option. Yeah.
Do you guys ever find yourself in that situation where you're with just like a bunch of people in your personal life outside of the community and they're just like venting and you're just like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like this is sometimes like, you know, this is, I'm in a different world,
I
guess.
Complaints, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints. I mean, my boss is amazing. My company's amazing. I feel like I'm paid pretty fairly, and I get all these privileges and freedom and stuff, and everybody else in my, like, local social circle is like, oh, the grind, the man, the work, the inflexibility, the overtime, all this stuff. I just zip it.
The only person, you know, I hear that really from is my wife. No. She has probably a more stressful job than people have had. I know people most recently just because of what she does and scheduling and the people, just the personalities and people she comes across, coworkers and passengers, if you will, as a flight attendant.
That would be a hard job.
It's tough. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, hope that helps you, Michelle. Let's go on to the today's segment, which is this one.
It's time for the personal question.
Oh, personal question. All right, this is where we ask each other a personal question. Kyle's going to ask me. I'm going to ask Tara. Tara's going to ask Kyle.
All right, let's get deeply personal this time.
Right on.
Let's learn a little bit about each other.
Okay. After just talking about not being personal.
Right. Perfect. Perfect.
We're not colleagues here.
So no.
We can open up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And none of our colleagues listen to this show. So it's totally safe.
Except Sarah Dunn.
What? We're not colleagues.
Oh, right.
We're just friends.
Oh, we're friends. Okay,
we're
go
just
on.
Friends.
So, Kyle, you going to ask me first?
All right, Adam, tell me. What is something you are deeply self-conscious about?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh, deeply self-conscious about.
Huh. No, like to maybe to like a little bit irrational degree. Like you shouldn't be self-conscious about this, maybe, but you are. What is something someone could insult you about and it just stinks too much, you know, that kind of thing? Like, ooh, it hits too close to home for me because I'm self-conscious about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what I'm
that's
saying?
A really good question.
It is. So, I mean, the first thing that came to mind. I mean, I guess I'm not. It's I have a fear of death, but that's not really being self-conscious. That's self being self-aware. Dead.
You're self-conscious about your mortality.
My mortality. Yeah, I really right. am. Actually, I am.
I'm not immortal.
yeah. Self-conscious. If somebody said something that stings, I don't really think I have one. I mean, I guess my sister. Who I've talked about before. I mean, I should have said my siblings. You know, siblings. My sister. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have anything that I'm super. Do you know? Do you have? Do I have one that you know about that I'm not admitting to?
I'm not gonna say that.
it's so good. What am I self-conscious about that if somebody said something that really bugs me?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they wouldn't say it to your face, but if somebody just like implied like. Something about the way that you know how you look or how smart you are, how successful you are, how popular you are, how funny you are, how you know just all these things that you care about your self image and where you are in life and so on. What's like the top one that you're like, this is important to me and I'm conscious about it. And if somebody called me out, it would just sting. It would just sting.
I don't really have anything on top of my head. I don't.
Nothing. Wow. So you're, just, you're super secure.
Amazing. Yeah.
Well, okay. I guess the thing is, when I was slightly younger, I was always on, quote unquote, on performing wise, as that was my thing. I was called out on it, you know, back in college. One of my good friends, Jessica, we met in the dorms, and she called out, and so I realized that I didn't have to always be on. It took me a long time. It's also exhausting. And I know I can come off. I have a lot of energy. I guess I'm pretty frenetic at times. As I've gotten older, I've learned that, A, I don't always have to be on, nor am I always on. And I do need a time to recharge. Even though I'm extrovert, I definitely need time to recharge. Because putting on a quote show or going out and being in public and speaking publicly takes energies that I still need time to recharge from. I still get energy from it, so I'm definitely have that personality. So I think I'm still an extrovert. But I think when people would say you're a lot, this was years ago, 20, 30 years ago, that would kind of like, what's your problem with that? So that would be the only thing I could really think of. But as I've gotten older, I am really, I'm really comfortable in my own skin these days.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've progressed.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's impressive.
Interesting question. Okay. Interesting question. So,
yeah.
All right. So, my turn to ask Tara. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the one thing you wish your parents would have taught you that would have made a true difference in your life for the better?
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Wow. Well, I mean, to have taught me themselves, I'm not sure, but I am deeply regretful that they didn't make me continue with piano lessons.
Right.
I played the flute through middle school, which was pretty useless. I can't read music anymore, and my dad was really musical, and so I wish I could sit down at the piano and play a tune, and I can't do that really. So I think that that would be something I wish they would have taught me.
Okay.
Yeah. Or I mean, not themselves necessarily, but yeah.
Right. Had provided the ability. Yeah.
Were you the kind of personality when you were young that like would have responded well to like more encouragement? Could they have pushed you or?
Yeah, I think they could have. And subsequently, my kids took piano lessons from first through 12th grade. So my son's employed, you know, doing something with music, and my daughter plays. And so like I kind of did for them what I feel like I wish my parents would have done, because there are certainly times where they didn't want to do it and they didn't like the teacher and she was strict and all those things. And we just kind of wrote it out. And I think that both of them would say they're grateful that they did that. So
that's awesome.
I wish that my parents would have like just kind of pushed me in whatever way it would have needed to be done, because kids need pushing in different ways.
Right. True. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Tara.
All right. So my question's for Kyle, and I would love to ask you the same question that you asked Adam, but I'll ask you a different one because I don't want to steal your idea. So, and this is I'm giving a talk in Miami next weekend at WordCamp Miami. So this is related to that actually. And this is, what is a mistake that you made when you had your own business, or a lesson that you learned the hard way?
Oh man. It's just a flood like pouring into my brain right now. Like, I'm being buried by all these memories of so many errors and mistakes. Wow. Which one was the biggest?
And that's all the time we got.
Oh man.
First thing that came to mind.
The first thing that comes to mind is I could also be answering two questions in one, because high on the list of things that I, being really transparent, the things I feel self-conscious about, was I ran a business and it didn't go as planned. And I, you know, on my dark days, I feel like I failed to do what I set out to do. Mm-hmm. And there was something that I wanted. There was a vision that I had. There were people I was trying to emulate. Couldn't pull it off. Ultimately figured out like the truth is like that just wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. That was not my real calling. I was meant to do something else. So from the get-go, it was really doomed. And we did okay. It wasn't a total failure, but it just like we didn't achieve what I wanted. And so really probably like the biggest mistakes are rooted in the very beginning. I was pretty young, pretty inexperienced, and thought I knew so much. I had learned, you know, like some basic skills, like learned how to write some code and how to do some SEO and some marketing stuff. And I thought I knew all that you needed to. You know, I had a business degree. You know, I was terribly inexperienced.
Yeah.
And in my early 20s and trying to be taken very seriously by big companies, and going in, I think with more confidence than I should have had. And definitely my ambitions were way off track, like not realistic at all. The things that I thought I could accomplish with what I had, the skills I had, the people I had, and the location that I was in, I was shooting for something that I couldn't possibly achieve, even if I was way better at it. So those were some mistakes. A lot of things went right. I think I partnered with good people. I hired good people. I think I got good contracts, and I think I completed good projects. But it had a lot more to do with just like doing the wrong thing for me, based on hardly any experience and knowledge, and then just like persisting in it forever, like way too long.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
it sounds like you're being hard on yourself, but and it worked out.
That's Kyle's thing. Kyle likes to do that.
Yeah, well, I can relate to that.
Yeah. I could probably like write a book about like all the things, and it would not be a fun book to read. Like,
see, there you go. See,
it'd be terrible. But, right. But it would just be like, oh, all these things.
I could write this book.
I don't really like even revisiting it.
I could like this book, but I wouldn't like reading it. It'd have an ugly cover, and nobody would read it. So why write it?
Right. Yeah, one star. Would not recommend.
Okay.
It's just Kyle complaining.
Kind of like this podcast.
Yeah. Shut up.
All right. On that note, we now know more about each other than we should, and we'll take us out. Yeah. So, Kyle, you
wait, I have a little something for you guys.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah, okay. I'm back on the show. Adam had snow. Kyle's heading to Ireland. These things I know, because I listen, I listen, I listen to Get Options. I listen, I listen, I listen to Get Options. Sarah was a guest, and I think you like her best. She's smart and super sweet. To that I can attest, because I listen, I listen, I listen to Get Options. I listen, I listen, I listen to Get Options. My rapping skills are lame. I am not seeking fame. You guys do it way better, but it's fun to play this game. And I listen, I listen, I listen to Get Options. I listen, I listen, I listen to Get Options.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man.
So good.
For real?
Oh.
You guys made a really nice song for me last time, I think. And so,
That's awesome.
That's so good.
That's so good.
I'm going to have that one stuck in my head.
Very limited.
Yeah. I liked
my
it.
My grand skills are very limited,
That's good.
It's a pretty nice hook.
That was good. I'm going to totally use that. I'm gonna listen to
Get Options.
I might have to remix that. That's good.
All right.
I think it was perfect. That's a masterpiece.
Right. Top 100.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. And also I wanted to thank you for giving a shout out to the business of WP and like maybe the last episode or the one before you guys were waxing poetic about our lovely group over there. So thanks for doing that. Yeah, but it's a good place to be.
It is. It is. It is. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks for listening. You can email us your questions at questions@getoptionspodcast.com or use the SpeakPipe feature over on that website. You can find us primarily over on Twitter. @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. Tara, where are you?
I am at Tara Clays on Twitter, CLAEYS, and Design TLC is my agency website, designtlc.com.
Okay. And you can find us on SoundCloud as well. And that rap will be on Well, the rap may not make it to SoundCloud unless you give me a separate copy. Anyways, say goodbye, Kyle, or say Hakuna Matata, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle. Goodbye, Tara.
Say goodbye, Tara.
Bye, guys. Thanks.